Our approach to childbirth changes over time in society. A lot of baby boomers were born in sterile surgical suites while their mothers were knocked out by anesthesia. We've gone back to a more home and mother-centered birth, but it's still a more medicalized procedure than it was for eons of human existence before the industrial age. Midwives were a huge part of the birthing process over time, and they are still prominent now where they've been included in the system. Some states do better than others at integrating midwives in the childbirth options, and Oregon is one of those. A recent study tracked midwife integration across the country, so I have two people to talk to about this. Melissa Cheney was part of the research. She is a professor at Oregon State University and a midwife herself. Melissa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We also have with us Willa Woodard Irvin, who is the owner and a midwife herself at Rogue Birth Center. Hi, Willa.
Good morning. Hi.
Good to have you both here. Melissa, let's start with you. It seems like there's a lot of variety in the use of midwives across the country.
Yes, that's really true. Our study looked at coordination across provider types, so those are referring and receiving providers or providers that might work in a community setting. A community setting is home or birth center and hospital-based providers. And then at variation also in birth settings, so home, hospital, or birth center. And we wanted to see what the associations might be between outcomes and that level of coordination.
And what did you find about the relationship between outcomes and coordination?
We found that the degree of integration is very strongly associated with outcomes. So where midwives are well integrated into the system, outcomes are excellent or improved. And the converse is also true. So where midwives are less well integrated in the system, outcomes are also poorer.
Now, I notice you have a whole chart that kind of ranks them from the most integration in the state of Washington, New Mexico, number 2, Oregon, number 3, North Carolina way down there at number 50, California at number 16. So what does Oregon do to make life easy for midwives or to integrate them into the system?
Well, there are lots of things that we looked at. You know, we started out with 110 items that could, in theory, help describe integration.
Mm-hmm.
And we broke those down eventually into 50. And what we did is we looked online at publicly available information that described those 50 features. But then we also interviewed regulatory experts in each state to kind of find out, sometimes there's, you know, integration in theory, but then in practice, when you're actually talking to practitioners, you find that integration is sort of less relevant on the ground. And so with that combined information of the published regulatory data and then also the data coming from those experts, we were able to get a pretty good sense of how integrated these states are. And when what we were asking about were things like scope of practice, how autonomous midwives are in their practice, their ability to have prescriptive authority, so that means the ability to prescribe medications that could be life-saving. And then what was really important was access to collaboration and consultation or referral when needed with a higher level of care.
So, Willa Woodard Irvin, let's turn to you. You're doing this all the time. How easy does Oregon make it for midwives to do business? What are the ways in which, A, people find you, and B, the things that you can do when they do?
I would say a large portion of our clients are word of mouth. Mm-hmm. We do advertise quite a bit on Google, and so we always hear that people find us on Google. But midwifery, like Melissa said, has been passed down since the beginning of time. And so everyone knows a neighbor or a sister or their mother or a friend that a midwife has caught a baby for, a member of the family. So I think access to midwifery is fairly open and pretty easy to find for those families that are wanting to find it. In our case, especially because we're a pretty busy birth center, I would say families looking for home birth midwives, that gets a little bit harder. They don't tend to advertise quite as much, and they really do have to rely on word of mouth.
Is that the standard term, caught a baby for someone?
Yes. Yeah, we don't deliver babies. You deliver pizzas. We catch babies for families.
That's a good point. So Willa, just start us off on the kinds of skills a midwife possesses and what the expectations are in Oregon.
Right. And I do think that varies as well. Now, I'm a licensed midwife through the state of Oregon, which requires me to do additional training beyond my national licensure for additional suturing skills, IV antibiotics, and the meds that we're allowed to carry and dispense to our clients. I would say we are expected to wear all hats here in Oregon, and we're trained very well to do that. We are the midwife making the medical decisions. We often serve as the doula, the support personnel. We care for the baby as well. for all their well baby checks up to 8 weeks postpartum. So we're kind of the OB, the doula, the early pediatrician. Obviously we refer out if something goes beyond low risk or normal for mom or baby, but we're really experts at low risk moms and babies.
In under Oregon law, are you expected to defer to a nurse or doctor, either by practice or by law?
Absolutely, both. And as a birth center midwife, my regulations and laws are a little bit more strict than a home birth midwife. We really like the term, especially around here. I mean, there's really 17 active midwives in Southern Oregon, six more that aren't practicing. We really kind of just say we're out-of-hospital birthers. Because that can look different anywhere. You can be at the birth center or at a home. So, yes, there's a broad range. And we are expected to transfer out for really high risks, which for us present like a huge red flag since we see low risk so often. And I would say here in Southern Oregon, we're really very blessed. We have a wonderful collaboration with Maternal Fetal Medicine. They're over in Medford. They also come here to Grants Pass one day a week to see clients, which is fantastic. In Grants Pass, we're pretty spoiled because we really only have one major OB facility here full of doctors, and they're really they're wonderful to us. We collaborate with them on a pretty much daily basis. I would say Medford and Ashland Midwives have a little bit harder time. They don't seem to be quite as open, and I think it's because there's so many more OBs over there for the midwives to transfer to or to collaborate with. But maternal fetal medicine really has kind of been our saving grace. They're wonderful to all care providers.
We're talking about midwifery, and as you heard, midwives don't deliver babies, they catch babies. Pizzas are delivered. Willa Woodard Irvin is the owner and a midwife herself at the Rogue Birth Center. Melissa Cheney is also our guest on The Exchange. She's an Oregon State University professor who was a researcher on a study that mapped the integration of midwives across the United States, and Oregon shows up as number three on that list. You can join the conversation on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Melissa, in the areas where people don't have midwives as readily available, who do they generally turn to?
You know, that's a major problem. A relatively high number of women living in the United States today, especially those that live in rural communities, don't have access to any provider. And some women are driving as far as an hour, 2 hours to receive regular prenatal care. So in those communities, there can be very limited access. And so one of the important findings of this study is that as states are thinking about how to improve their outcomes, one major area of impact could be to focus on integrating midwifery into care. And so increasing access to midwives so that those communities who are underserved or where services are stretched very thin can have a very cost-effective way of intervening there by increasing access to midwives. So it's both a current problem in places, but also a really powerful potential solution.
So you have a lot of data that you mentioned you could go to, and you had to narrow the list from 110 items to consider down to 50. But did you get a lot of verbatims or case studies that you could refer to get a sense of how it is that I mean, when midwives are not integrated into the system, is there's a sort of a medical, shutting out of midwives in the system or something?
You know, and we didn't focus on case studies, although some of our experts, as they wrote in to the survey, actually did provide examples. But, you know, I'm also an ethnographer and a medical anthropologist, and most of my research has really been on these types of stories and experiences. So I've interviewed midwives all over the United States to ask them about their processes of transfer and integration, and it's so highly variable. And I could sort of give you a couple of examples from a really well-integrated system, for example, like we have in Corvallis, Oregon. If I'm working with a client who begins low risk but then starts to show some risk factors that could be of concern, I have ready access to a group of nurse midwives who work in the hospital who will collaborate with me, discuss a case, and if needed, take over care in the hospital if that becomes the safer place for the person to give birth. And so we have really smooth collaboration and transfer between home and hospital in my community as a result of those midwife-to-midwife transfers. And then, of course, if the person develops a significant complication that requires an obstetrician, we can then call in that colleague to help with the care. So it's quite integrated, and the relationships are strong and trusting, and we sort of rely on one another to provide access to everyone.
Go ahead.
I would say the opposite of that could be in a state where there is a what we call sometimes the home hospital divide, and that can be a rather sort of entrenched debate over whether women should have the right to choose birth outside of the hospital. And there can be really contentious relationships when the receiving provider in the hospital feels uncomfortable taking care of a client who was cared for by a home birth or community birth provider.
All right. And so to get to look at the list from the opposite end, the states where there's the least integration of midwives into the process, North Carolina, Alabama, South Dakota, Ohio, and Mississippi are the top five. Again, we're talking to Melissa Cheney and Willa Woodard-Irvin about midwifery. So, Willa, I want to ask you about, I mean, in any birth, are there going to be a few bumps along the way, a few moments of concern, or some just completely smooth from start to finish?
Most of them are really completely smooth from start to finish. Some of them have bumps, but very smooth.
So, but when there are some, I mean, does the familiarity with the case, I mean, if a midwife is there from the beginning, I mean, they're going to know that there are some things that might bear looking at the point of babies arriving.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is why most midwives have a really skilled birth attendant assistant with them, or a second midwife. Here at Roque Birth Center, we always have two senior midwives attending every birth, one for mom, one for baby. So we always are watching from the moment of birth or every moment through labor to make sure everything's going smoothly. But, you know, like Melissa said, we have the ability to have such great integration into the system. If something does happen, you know, we can be across the street at the hospital in an ambulance in just a couple of minutes.
And that integration, I sense, means you're not going to show up and somebody's going to, who are you? I mean, they know you already.
Right.
You're part of the system, yeah. So you mentioned certification earlier, Willa, and I'm curious about that because you mentioned national certification and some additional state-level stuff. So, I mean, it sounds like there's a bunch of stuff a midwife needs to know to be able to just to get to the point of that certification, the initial national certification.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Most midwives practicing like myself, I went to school. It varies between a 3 to a 5 year program. I finished mine in a little under 3 because I never stopped working. There's a whole entire didactic portion that is just absolutely very rigorous. And then we all have a minimum of 2 years hands-on apprenticeship training or internship before we're even able to sit for our national licensing, which is about an 8-hour test that every midwife in America that becomes a licensed midwife has to pass first. And then once that's done nationally, every single state has then their own regulatory laws on midwifery. And so in Oregon, we have a few more steps that we have to take after national licensure, like I mentioned already. And then once you've done all of those, and then there's some additional hands-on hours and additional births and skills that Oregon wants, then you receive your state licensure. And then for both of my national and state licensures, we're required to keep our license up every couple of years. We have to have continual training education units. So we're always schooling, no matter how long we've been in midwifery.
All right, but you don't have to take the 8-hour test again as part of the upkeep, do you?
We do not unless you let your license lapse, which wouldn't be advisable.
Okay. So Melissa Cheney, I have to wonder if somewhere in the middle of all this data, there's some evidence that in places where there's not good integration of the certified midwives, if perhaps there are more unofficial midwives, you know, grandma coming over to help with the birth, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we do sometimes have what's called traditional midwives or unlicensed midwives, and those are midwives in states who have not gone through the pathways to certification or licensure. And they're actually very difficult to track. It's hard to know how common those are across the United States, partially because they are not regulated.
Okay, so hard to say whether they're on there or not. So just in terms of what you were able to latch on to through the research you did, and it's you and was it 8 other researchers?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you expect Oregon to show up well on this list?
You know, I did. I think one of the things that is sort of interesting as a medical anthropologist is that you have this cross-cultural lens or this cross-cultural perspective. And most of the other high-resource countries around the world have much greater integration of midwives. So I kind of have the sense that we wouldn't have any states ranking 100. You know, it's interesting to note that Washington, which is the highest, only scored a 61. So there's still work to do in all of the states. But I did, you know, practicing in Oregon myself, I did have the sense that Oregon would rank on the higher end.
You mentioned midwives around the world. That was one of the more fascinating things about doing some research for this segment, is that it seems like in most of Europe, midwives are present at half or more of all births. And in this country, in some states, it's down to single digits. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And that is one of the things I think is really important to think about about this study. It really points to how underutilized midwives are in the United States. I mean, even in Oregon, if we realize that nationally about 10% of births are attended by midwives, in Oregon it's double that. It's 20%, but that is still far lower than most other high-resource countries.
So what should the states that ended up really low on this integration scale, North Carolina and Alabama, the top two, what should they think about to improve things?
They really need to look at the regulatory status for midwives. And I think there's a couple of ways that people can respond when they think about midwives. And some of it goes back to what you were asking earlier about whether births are straightforward all the time. I mean, and the answer is, as Willa said, the vast majority of the time. But what's important to remember is that midwives need not only be skilled in normal physiologic birth, so that is assisting women through a birth that's essentially going to occur under the power of their own bodies with very little intervention, just monitoring for safety. But midwives also need to be specialists in first-line complications. So those are the complications you need to manage quickly at home. That's resuscitation of a newborn or the management of a hemorrhage, so a mother that's bleeding too much, for example. And then maintain the health of the mother and baby as you're transferring to a higher-level facility for greater levels of care. And when people think about that component of it, one answer can be, well, we shouldn't have community birth at all. Mm-hmm. And the other could be, let's really train our midwives well, like they do in Europe, to make sure that safety can be provided in the out-of-hospital setting. And so I would encourage states who have low regulatory scores to think through that, to think about how midwives can be used as obstetric system extenders to provide care in communities that are underserved, for example, at a much lower cost with really excellent outcomes.
So when you shove the systems apart, mainstream medical on one hand and midwives on the other, you end up getting a situation where you're a greater risk to the mother and baby.
Absolutely. There's a divide there, and the family can end up in that chasm rather than being able to smoothly integrate across systems.
Willa Woodard-Irvin at Rogue Birth Center, I mean, we've established that Oregon's a pretty good state to be a midwife. Are there any things you can think of in Oregon, though, that would raise the profile of midwifery further or make the job easier?
Yes. I think our number one request for Oregon midwifery is to allow us to have across-the-board well women care. Right this moment, Oregon midwifery licenses do not allow midwives like myself practicing to see women any time other than from preconception counseling through the 6 to 8 week mark postpartum. We get calls almost on a daily basis, it seems, maybe not every day, but often weekly, for women of all different ages wanting to come in just for their yearly well women care. Again, we service a large population of women who would prefer not to go to an OBGYN. They would prefer to go to a midwife in a less clinical setting who they have a relationship with for their yearly exams. And we're really, really hoping that would become part of our license, like New Mexico and so many other states. I also think that I agree with Melissa. I mean, while we have a really great system of collaboration with other doctors that can always be enhanced, I think that the more training we all go through, the better. I mean, we had Jessica Dolan down at our birth center just last week working on our hands and skills for surprise breaches. I mean, there's always going to be things. I think the training and making sure that we all know how to handle those emergencies, well, they don't happen all the time, that we have the muscle memory to know what to do and how to care for those moms and babies if need be.
The well woman care you talk about, would that require some additional training, you think, to be able to do something like gynecological exams or whatever would be involved with the well woman check?
Absolutely not. We already do those postpartum at the 6 week visit for our clients. Mm-hmm. So really allowing us to do that, it's the same skills we already do. It's the yearly labs, it's the breast self exam, their yearly pap smear if need be. They're skills we already have.
Already there. Okay. Melissa, I want to come back to you about the research because it points out that public health organizations have been calling for greater integration of midwifery for years. Has it happened slowly or just not at all? Or what's been the trend?
It has been happening slowly. I think public health is a major ally to midwives. I think most professionals that are working in public health really understand that right now the United States has a very expensive maternity care system, and one of the downsides of that is that not everyone can access it. And so public health has been really important in talking about the roles that midwives can play. They're also very dialed into the international and the cross-cultural literature, and we have known for decades that these kinds of relationships we observed in the integration study and the mapping study were true in other places. It's just interesting to see that they also hold up here in the United States.
Interesting to think, though, that we have lower integration of midwives in the United States compared to other countries, and yet it costs more to have a baby here, and the complications are great in the United States, too, aren't they?
Yes, and those are connected. You know, the U.S. spends $110 billion on maternity care every year, and that is a very high amount of money relative to other nations. And when you look at the other countries that are also high resource countries like ours who have better outcomes than we do, they tend to have a couple things in common. And one is a single-payer system, and the other one is midwives as the primary care providers. And those things are really connected because midwifery care is far less expensive than obstetric care. And that's how we make sure that everyone has access.
All right. The research that Melissa Cheney was part of with eight other authors is called Mapping Integration of Midwives Across the United States, Impact on Access, Equity, and Outcomes. And it ranks the states, Washington on top, New Mexico number 2, Oregon number 3, down to California at number 16, at the bottom, North Carolina. So don't have a baby in North Carolina, I guess, is the idea here. Well, a little flippant on my part. Excuse me for that. But thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Melissa Cheney, Oregon State University professor and midwife and medical anthropologist and ethnographer. Good to talk to you. And Willa Woodard Irwin, owner and midwife at Rogue Birth Center. Thanks so much for filling us in on all the details of what goes on in the Rogue Valley.